You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Monday, best and worst of the weekend. We gave you ours, your opportunity to be part of the program, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at DP Show. We had a poll question for the first hour. We changed it up for the second hour. Recap those results, McLovin, and are we changing it for the third hour?
Yeah, so the first hour, do you think the Jets lost on purpose? 58% said no, meaning 42% said yes. Hour two was, who's the MVP, Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes? We have a 50-50 tie.
Okay.
I have some more questions for you. I kind of asked it, but I really want to get you on the record. Are the Browns for real?
Yeah, I had them going to the playoffs. Does that mean they're for real?
How about next question? Are they a contender in the AFC?
No. No. I think they have the Ravens coming up. And once again, I want to see that they beat the Titans handily, and to do it on the road, very, very impressive. But these are the kind of games where you go, the Browns can be this kind of team. They run the football. You got two 1,000-yard rushers. You've got some good wide receivers. You got a good offensive line. You have a front four that can put pressure on the quarterback. It comes down to Baker Mayfield. When Baker Mayfield is good, bordering on very good or great, then they're going to be a very tough team to beat. But that's the X factor, and that's the inconsistency part of this, where you're not quite sure what you're going to get with that team. I love those running backs. If you said the Browns have to go on the road and they have to play Pittsburgh or Kansas City, they have the offense to be able to do that. Run the football. You keep Patrick Mahomes off the field. You have a good offensive line. You protect Baker Mayfield. He makes a couple of plays, and you got a front four that I don't have to blitz people. I have a front four that can put some pressure on Patrick Mahomes. Those are the kind of teams you want to see what travels. And a running game, good defense, is going to be able to travel. And Cleveland has that right now. But I just don't know if they're going to be consistent enough that can they close out, you know, a good opponent. But, yeah, I mean, they went up 38-7 yesterday. And that's the most points scored in a half in franchise history. And Baker Mayfield had four touchdown passes in the first half. But the Browns are 9-3. That's their best through 12 games in a season since 1994, when they were 9-3 with Bill Belichick as their head coach. There's always a couple of games this time of the year where you go, where did that come from? The Giants game in Seattle, where did that come from? Because that was a game where, now Seattle's offense hasn't been very good and their defense has gotten better, but it had to. The Giants have a very good defense, and they had just enough plays, and it's rare when I watch Russell Wilson, and he seemed flustered, and they did a pretty good job knocking him off his mark. And even when they had that last drive, I didn't feel confident, and I normally do with Russ. As I've said before, two-minute drill, game on the line, I want Russell Wilson as my quarterback. I didn't feel that way yesterday. Giants did a wonderful job there. The Patriots winning 45-0. This is the Chargers' first shutout at home in 32 years. Largest shutout loss in Chargers history. Largest road shutout in Patriots history. Largest road shutout in NFL history by a team that entered the game with a losing record. Patriots were 5-6. I can give the Patriots a lot of credit, but I got to give the Chargers a whole lot of blame as well. You know, the special teams, you know, they're not special. And you saw that with New England yesterday. Cam didn't even throw for 70 yards. And you win 45-0. It's weird to watch the Patriots because Belichick somehow finds a way. And he is always looking, what can we take advantage of? And it looked like he took advantage of everything yesterday against the Chargers. But this is a Charger team that feels like they put a stamp on the envelope and they're mailing it in. Yeah, McLovin.
Patriots at Rams Thursday night, 6.5 points Rams.
Yep.
That's a good one, huh?
It got a whole lot more interesting here. But I just don't know how the Rams are playing well. They scored a lot of points. They weren't afraid of the Cardinals. you know, Aaron Donald even said, hey, we know how to deal with quarterbacks like this. And they put up big numbers. Jared Goff put up some big numbers there. And that's a really good defense. The offense, I'm never quite sure what I'm getting there. You know, they're running attack and then Jared Goff. They have some good receivers there, but you have a pretty good defense as well. And I think that that's really important. But the Seahawks losing is a big opening for the Rams. Big opening for them. Also, there's backup plans now. There's a report the Rams and Chargers could play their remaining home games in Las Vegas. According to Mick Akers of the Las Vegas Review-Journal, both the Rams and Chargers could play their remaining home games in Las Vegas. The Raiders and the NFL have had discussions about the possibility of both teams using the stadium, and this is Akers citing an unnamed source. If the Rams and Chargers do end up playing in Vegas, they would not use the Raiders' practice facility. Now, the question came up because the Rams and Chargers, could they finish their seasons in California given what's happened with the Niners getting kicked out of the state? The Niners now playing in Arizona. So I don't know if that's going to happen with the Rams or Chargers, but that's certainly on the table. College football over the weekend, LSU got embarrassed. We'll talk to Alabama's quarterback. He'll join us on the program tomorrow. Notre Dame rolled. We'll talk to Ian Book there, a quarterback coming up in about 20 minutes. Ohio State rolls. I just don't know if the resume looks good enough, the fact that the Big Ten is so down this year. Indiana with the win at Wisconsin was pretty impressive. And then the BYU-Coastal Carolina matchup on Saturday turned out to be maybe the best game of the weekend, one of the best of the year. And it was certainly impactful. And not because Coastal Carolina is going to ride this win to a Final Four berth, but, you know, this is really about the organizers of the sport. Because we always hear about, oh, we can't go out and schedule somebody. Our schedules are made out 10 years in advance. These two programs showed incredible flexibility to put the game together. Coastal Carolina was supposed to have a game against Liberty. And not many teams would have the guts to go on the road against an undefeated team with very little prep time, but BYU did it. And BYU paid the price. The Cougars losing on the final play of the game, but it was still impressive that these two got together. And, you know, as I mentioned before, Pat Forty said it's kind of like a Tinder date. Hey, I like you, you like me, let's play. Swipe right or whatever it is. But who would have thought BYU and Coastal Carolina would lead the way with one of the better games of the year? And you have the big question, is Michigan going to be able to play this week against Ohio State? It's really, really quiet in Ann Arbor. And even with my great sources on the Big Ten, it's really, really quiet. One of my sources had said last week, you know, don't be surprised. You know, my source said, you know, Ohio State's going to have a hard time playing the game against Michigan State with head coach and all the other COVID cases. But I was told by my source they're going to do whatever it takes. They don't care how far they go down the depth chart. Ohio State's getting that game in. Big Ten has subsequently come out and said, hey, maybe there's no requirement on the number of games that you have to play or number of wins you have to be in the Big Ten title game. It feels like the Big Ten wants Ohio State in there, and hopefully you get into the Final Four. But their resume is not great, and it's not their fault. It's just the Big Ten is not any good this year. Penn State, Michigan. Michigan State's not good. Purdue. Indiana and Northwestern have been interesting, but yeah, it's a down year for the Big Ten. By the way, USC won again last night.
Monday?
I swear, I'm flipping through and I go, oh, they're showing a replay here of USC. And then I go, I don't remember USC playing on Saturday. And then I go, let me check. And I was like, oh, no, that's actually happening now. And USC is under. Do you think 20 years from now you'll hear some USC graduate played on the team? Man, I remember that undefeated season of 2020. Yeah? Tell me about it, Dad. Yep. Oh, it was incredible. Through difficult times, we went undefeated. We won five games. Yes, Billy.
That season, son, started in November 7th, and we got past Arizona State, and then we finished December 12th at UCLA, 5-0.
Yes, Eden.
That's been one of the more bizarre things about this season, is that you can have matchups like a team that's 7-3 going against a team that's 0-2.
You're like, yeah. What?
It just, I get it. I know it's COVID and everything. It just looks so strange.
Todd just sent me this about the Jets and Jags if they finish with the same record. The team that played the worst schedule in the regular season would get the number one pick. Now, what's the worst schedule mean?
The opponents had, the worst record, basically.
Of the
opponents of the two teams, of the Jets and Jaguars. If a combined record of one of those teams is worse, that team will get the number one pick.
Yeah, but I would think that you would get the number one pick if you played a tougher schedule. Well, no. I don't want to confuse anything. As of now, the Jets' 16 opponents have a better record than the Jags' 16 opponents, meaning the Jags would win the tiebreaker and draft first. No, that makes more sense, because then it really shows how inept you are. I don't know what I'm thinking. It's a healthy margin, but still possible that it could change over the final 4 weeks. But Jacksonville went into overtime against Minnesota and lost, and of course the Jets, in Jetsian fashion, lose to the Raiders. Yes, McLovin.
There's some buzz now that the NFL has a real tanking problem, that they might want to go to a lottery, because the Jets and Jags is not a good look.
Yeah,
and
but,
there's like well, 8 wait, teams but, who aren't playing for anything.
Wait, the Jags went into overtime.
Well, I know, but all this focus on the Jets and Jags, maybe, you know, mid-game it wasn't, but like people are saying there's a lot of terrible football right now.
Well, there is bad football, but there's bad football every year. The Jets, you know, went down to the final seconds against the Raiders, who might be a playoff team. The Jags went into overtime against the Vikings, who might be a playoff team. By the way, here are your standings right now. The Steelers still in the lead for home field advantage. The Chiefs clinched a playoff spot. Bills one game lead in the AFC East. The Titans own the division tiebreaker record over Indianapolis. Browns closing in on a playoff berth. Dolphins still have a chance in the East. They're 8-4. Colts still have a chance in the AFC South. 8-4. Raiders one game out of the wild card spot. The Ravens 6-5 on the outside looking in. NFC, Saints first team to clinch a playoff spot. Packers, big lead in the NFC North. The Rams, they own the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Seahawks. The Giants at 5-7 lead the NFC East. Seahawks, first in the wild card race at 8-4. Buccaneers, three games behind the Saints in the NFC South. And the Vikings right now have the tiebreaker over the Cardinals. Yeah, Paul.
And I hesitate to bring it up, but yesterday when the Saints got in the playoffs, I heard a guy on a big network say clenched a playoff spot. He said about four times they clenched a playoff spot. Yeah, you would think that a clench would be a team that lost in terrible fashion, like the Jets. They clenched. Mm. They didn't clench.
McLovin, can you help me with that? Clinch and clench?
Yeah, I think they're completely different words as far as I can tell. Okay. I think that was Paulie's point.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, you clenched up? Yeah.
Yeah.
I would think. Todd, you clench up?
I do clench up.
Okay.
Often.
All right. Let me see. Bob in North Carolina. Hey, Bob, best and worst of the weekend.
Morning, Dan.
Hi, Bob.
5-8-199. My best of the week is Iowa State's Big 12 regular season championship. And my worst is news that I just read today. Peter Alliss has passed away at age 89. Well known for his golf commentary.
Yep, with the BBC, Peter Alliss, and he was a very, very good golfer. I think won the British PGA Championship 3 times, but member of probably 7 or 8 Ryder Cups, but passed away at the age of 89. Jeff in California. Hi, Jeff. What's on your mind today?
Merry lockdown to you guys from Los Angeles. Yeah, it's tough out here, bro.
Oh, by the way, hold on for a second, Jeff. The Jets have just fired their defensive coordinator, Greg Williams.
So, thank God.
Yeah, he just fired him. All right. What else do you have?
First of all, first time, long time. I go back to the Dibbler days. Where is Rob? I mean, we don't even hear from him anymore. Worst and best. Worst, of course, my LA Chargers. 45-0. Are you kidding me? Yeah. And the best is right now it's 8:15 here in LA, and I'm sure that Anthony Lynn is packing his bags And I have a tip. I think that Jim Harbaugh and Michigan aren't getting along, and he's got ties to the Chargers. I would think he may be a good possibility as their next coach.
All right. Well, thank you, Jeff. I don't know if it's a real tip that Jim Harbaugh and Michigan aren't getting along. The ties to the Chargers, I have no idea. But we're going to know pretty soon about Jim Harbaugh in Michigan, because there was a report over the weekend that Jim might be looking at some NFL opportunities here, which I understand that if Michigan's not going to extend your contract, it's hard to recruit. Certainly in the Big Ten, you don't have those extra years there because recruits are going to go, I'm not going there because I don't know if he's going to be there. Yeah, McLeod.
I have an inside source that Adam Gase might be in trouble with the Jets as well.
I'm going to need a second source on that, McLevin.
Well, maybe that caller knows somebody about that hot tip with the Harbaugh in trouble.
But Jets have fired their defensive coordinator, Greg Williams. This is his style. Everybody acknowledges this is who Greg Williams is. He loves to, you know, send 6-7 defenders there and okay. I don't have any problem on that. Like, if that's your style, it's one thing. But the Raiders knew that they were going to do that because you're keeping your tight end in. Your best receiver is going to stay in and block on that play. Feels like John Gruden knew exactly what was going to happen. What I didn't know was going to happen is they were going to have man coverage and you were going to bite on a double move. If I have man coverage, I'm going to keep my man in front of me. I don't care what you do, 12 yards, and then you do a double move. Nobody gets behind us, guys. I mean, that's just common sense. That's why I said I would fire him last hour. I would fire Greg Williams for not telling his defensive backs, whatever happens, do not let anybody behind you. It's the only way we can lose. But maybe Jets fans are going to go, hey, we got to remember Greg Williams. Hey, you know, let's tip one for Greg Williams. Hey, everybody, toast to Greg Williams here when the Jets take Trevor Lawrence. Ian Book wins about the same percentage games that Trevor Lawrence does, the Notre Dame quarterback. Yes, Paulie.
By the way, you always mention the movie Witness with Kelly McGillis.
Book!
Yes, the great movie. That's one of the all-time greatest deaths in a movie, to be killed by a grain silo. Remember the guys that are coming after after him? John Book, and the guy gets stuck in the grain silo, just you know, killed by grain. Rarely does that happen.
Danny Glover.
Yep.
Danny Glover was one who got caught in the grain silo with Harrison Ford.
Sad.
Who was John Book. Kelly McGillis, sneaky great in that movie, though. Yeah, that was a good movie. You guys all see that? Witness? Oh,
sure.
Seton?
Yeah, I mean, that scene, I think it might be the opening scene in the bathroom.
Ooh.
Like one that really sticks with you.
In Philadelphia.
Yeah.
That's downtown Philadelphia at the train station, right, McLevin?
Yeah, that's 30th Street. When I was growing up, that was a local movie, kind of. I mean, I guess it's a local movie to Lancaster. Have you ever been out to Amish country, Dan?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. Todd, have you seen the movie Witness?
I think I saw part of it a long time ago, but it didn't stay with me long enough.
I know exactly which part you've seen.
I know which part, too.
By the way, the shoe fly pie, if you go visit the Amish, that's the way to go. Get a nice shoe fly pie dessert.
Todd's seen about 90 seconds of a lot of movies.
Yeah.
Just one specific thing that he's interested in.
9.5 weeks and yeah. Wild Orchid. There's just little parts.
Doug, has Carson Wentz's performance this season been affected by Jalen Hurts being behind him? Has he been looking over his shoulder?
It's hard for me to answer that question because I'm not in Carson's shoes, you know. But
wait, did anybody ask for that?
Let's just get us back to sports.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah. It's just a transition. It's okay. Over. Let's get back to sports.
I thought it was we're all witnessing major problems in Philadelphia, so that was like something clever there. A QB situation.
I'm going to throw Doug Peterson called in because he liked Witness. I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah. Hey, Doug, have you seen Witness? I Carson, I don't know who's my starter right now.
It's Witness me stay with Carson Wentz.
Let me take a break here. Ian Book is going to join us coming up on loan from Notre Dame. It's 21 after the hour. I think this is the Dan Patrick Show. Masterclass offers exclusive classes on a wide variety of topics, all taught by world-class masters at the top of their fields. And they're always adding new teachers here. If you want to learn basketball, Steph Curry can help you. Ball handling and shooting, Serena Williams with tennis. Now, that's just the sports part of this. There's cooking, there's photography. You want to learn comedy, Steve Martin helps you with comedy. And there's about 20 lessons per class, and they last about 10 minutes per lesson. But you go at your own pace. Lessons are available anytime, anywhere on your phone, computer, tablet, or smartphone. Each class supported by downloadable materials and workbooks, exercises, recipes. Over 90 classes from a range of world-class instructors. And there's a hobby that you've always wanted to tackle. Now you have that opportunity. Plus, I love this as a Christmas gift. As a DP Show listener, get an annual membership to Masterclass. Give one to somebody for free. Unlimited access to every Masterclass for you and a friend right now. Go to masterclass.com/Patrick. That's masterclass.com/Patrick. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. This program brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. They go beyond the extra mile from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, to their five-star sales service, financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz Vans, built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything so you can go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Quarterback from the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, Ian Book, joining us on the program. The Irish now second in the country at 10-0, defeating Syracuse over the weekend. Good morning, Ian. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Did you have an NFL team you rooted for growing up?
I did, yeah. It's the 49ers. I grew up a fan and still am a fan, so watch every game on Sunday.
And, you start to look at these teams as you – you're going to be draft eligible here coming up here in a couple of weeks. What have you been told as far as your pro prospects or what the scouts might think about your talents?
A lot of people right now are just saying focus on the season and let that take care of itself. But it's been a dream of mine to play in the NFL, and that's what I want to do. So, I'm ready for that, and I'll be willing to go wherever, whenever. It's just a dream of mine, and I don't care where it'll be. So.
Who are you compared to who's playing in the NFL?
A lot of people, I mean, this is big praise because, Russell Wilson's probably my favorite. But a lot of people say, Russell Wilson, maybe Baker Mayfield, a couple of the shorter guys, which is cool. I love watching them all on Sunday. And it's just fun to see how the league with quarterbacks is changing a little bit. It's definitely motivating.
Are you a runner or a scrambler?
That's a good question. I'd probably scrambler. When it breaks down, I think I can make some plays with my feet and keep the play alive. And that's just kind of how I've been playing the game since, I started in third grade.
This is what I would say. Just a little bit of advice. Whenever you talk All to right. a scout or a coach, general manager, anybody, just say, I'm here to help you win. That's it. That's all you do. Because that's what you do in college. That's all right. Russell Wilson did when he was in college. I'm just here to help you win, because they're going to go, well, you're 6 feet. Are you a legitimate 6 feet?
I'm a legitimate 6 feet. Yep.
Okay. Because they're going to go 6 feet. Okay. How's your arm strength? Does he run? Does he have happy feet? Does he run too soon? Like all of these things, they're going to pick you apart.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to be really confident in yourself to just That's say true. Through all of it, I don't care what you break me down, I win.
Yes, sir.
That's what I'm here to do. I'm here to win. All right?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
I agree with you.
But let's try it here.
All right.
Okay, so if I say, man, I'm looking at the tape here. I don't know. Do you pull it down and run too much here? How's the arm strength there? I don't know. Ian, help me out trying to understand your talents here.
Yeah, I just play to win. I'm here to win. I'm here to move the team, move the chains and score on offense. I'm here to win.
All right. There you go. Just say it over and over and over. Don't get defensive when they start to pick you apart, right. because I've been with some of the best who've ever played it, and they all got picked apart as well. Who gets your Heisman vote? If you had one.
I don't know. I think Kyle Trask is really good. I've been watching him, watched his game last week, and I think he's doing really well, and he's fun to watch, and he's really elevated his game right now.
Okay, I don't understand why you don't get any credit here. And I say that having you on, but I've said that before you came on. You put up really good numbers and you win, but you're not put in the conversation of great quarter. I'm talking college quarterbacks. We tend to lump quarterbacks in what they're going to be like when they get to the NFL. I'm just talking about what you do in college, and that's what I'm surprised at. I think you should be certainly in the conversation for a Heisman finalist. I don't know if you're going to get there, but you win, and you're the second, ranked second in the country. So help me understand what you hear as to why you're not lumped in with any of these other quarterbacks right now.
I'm not 100% sure. There's probably a lot of reasons out there, but, one of them could be just because we're at Notre Dame. You either love us or you hate us. It's one or the other. So, a lot of people, talked about, a conference, they can't win if they were to join a conference or just a lot of things like that. And we were able to join a conference this year and, go undefeated in it. So,
Hate Notre Dame growing up?
No, I didn't. I grew up, really watching the Pac-12 on the West Coast and really fortunate to get out here. I'm really glad I did. It's been an unbelievable experience, but I didn't hate Notre Dame like a lot of people do.
If it wasn't Notre Dame, where were you going?
I was committed to Washington State. That's where I was going to go. I was going to join the air raid and play in the Pac-12, and I ended up making the switch.
Well, I think you made a pretty good switch there. When's the last time Coach Kelly yelled at you?
During the game. During the game, we had a fumble, and that's on the quarterback always. And I definitely heard from him a little bit on the sideline, but he's been really good on the sideline just this whole entire year. So he came back and gave me some support, and we were able to finish the deal.
You have a dresser behind you. What's in those drawers? Yeah. What's in those drawers behind you?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Can you get up and just open it up and just let me know if there's anything like it? That's
just some file cabinets. Got some secret stuff in there. Some Notre Dame stuff.
Some stuff that you'll use against Clemson in the ACC title.
Exactly. Yeah. Got 2 weeks to prepare. It's all in there.
How much did it bother you with Trevor Lawrence not playing? You guys beat Clemson, and then you hear, "Well, but Trevor Lawrence didn't play."
Right. I kind of ignored it because I kept saying, Trevor Lawrence doesn't play defense. So it was the same for us, and my job is to win, right? That's what we said. My job is to win as the quarterback. And whoever they were going to – the 11 guys they were going to put out there on defense is what we were going to go against. And I think it'll be good that he's back, and, hopefully we can get those people to be quiet because that's what I've heard a lot, just like you have.
How much of an advantage is it to have 2 weeks to prepare for Clemson?
Yeah, a lot. It's good just to finish the regular season, have 2 weeks now just to rest up, mentally and physically. And just to play a team twice is always hard. So it's going to be fun to get back to the drawing board. I'm really excited about it.
You already have your degree?
Yes, sir.
In what?
Business marketing.
Are you going to get a master's?
I am not. I'm currently a non-degree seeking fifth year. So
that means you don't do anything. What does that mean? I was a non-degree seeking like sophomore.
So basically I had to take one grad class and then two classes of whatever I wanted. I ended up taking three Irish studies classes. Really enjoyed it because I was going to go to Ireland and then COVID hit. We were going to play in Dublin, but I figured might as well, learn about some of the culture. So I took three Irish studies classes this year. It was fun.
Are you studying Guinness?
No,
of course not. Have you seen the movie Witness?
I have not.
Have you? So you know nothing about this Harrison Ford movie where his name is John Book?
No, I do not. I need to watch it then.
Yes, I you're gonna love it, by the way.
Okay.
But watch film on Clemson. I don't want people thinking, he's not watching Clemson, he's watching a movie called Witness, because the character is John Book, and it's Harrison Ford.
I got to watch it. I'll find time. I'll find time to watch it.
Okay. All right. What's your nickname? They don't call you like Bookie, do they? Or...
No. So, I mean, there's a lot you can do with my last name. But I don't think I've ever had a nickname. Ian's short enough, and it's just kind of been Ian, and that's the way it's gone.
Well,
I had a coach call me iBook once, and like an iPad. You know how that goes, but that's about it.
iBook?
Yeah.
Mm.
I liked Ian. We'll just stay with that.
Yeah. Well, congrats on the season so far. The ACC title game against Clemson is December 19th. What do you do better than Trevor Lawrence?
Win.
There. Well, wait a minute. His winning percentage.
He's pretty good at that. He's pretty good at that. That's a trick question.
He's 33-1. You're 30-3.
He's got me then. He's got me.
That's the right answer there. No, do you do something where you go, look, you're a competitor.
Yeah. I think like what we talked about earlier, being able to scramble and keep my eyes up and keep the play alive. He can do that too, but I've been doing that for a long time. I think that's one thing that can help us win. Like you said, help us move the chains. So,
well, good luck. Hey, great to talk to you. Congrats on the season. And were you more emotional your first day on campus or your last game?
Probably the last game. Yeah. I had my family and senior day and just the fact that it was going to be my last time playing in that unbelievable stadium. It's a night I'll remember forever. And I was definitely a little bit emotional and had the, you know, my family with me, and that's who I wanted to be with. And I didn't want to leave the field, so I was out there for a long time.
You cry?
No, my mom was crying, though. It was pretty sad.
Mm. Trevor Lawrence would have cried.
He might have. I don't know. It was sad. It was bittersweet. Bittersweet.
Yeah. That's a lot of great memories in that place. Yes, Ian, sir. Thank you. We appreciate your time, and good luck against Clemson.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
That's Ian Book. And he'll watch the movie Witness, and then he'll understand when somebody yells out, Book! And he had all the right answers there. That's a seasoned veteran there. Hey, I'm just here to win. Yes, Paulie.
As Ian Book prepares for the biggest game of his life, did you tell him to take a couple hours out to watch an 80s movie about Amish?
Amish, yes, I did. Yeah, but you can't be studying all the time. Like, right. You know, when I would study for a final in college, there'd be times when I would have to take time out from everything I was doing to study for a final. His is the other way around. I mean, he's taking Irish studies, right? I mean, come on. That's just an A. That's what that is. Yes. McLovin?
Not only had he not seen Witness, I don't even know if he's even heard of Harrison Ford. Like that was, he wasn't within 30 years of having seen Witness. That made me feel really old.
I know. I thought I was talking to one of my kids where I go, oh, yeah, the movie. No, Witness. You know, Harrison Ford. And then I said that to my daughters. I said, I forget what movie it was, but it had Harrison Ford in it. And I said, Harrison Ford. And they look at me like, Harrison Ford. Then my one daughter goes, is he the guy who landed his plane on a golf course or something out in California? I go, yeah, but he's a great actor. And I'm like, what's he been in? And, you know, I started rattling off, you know, all these movies. Yeah, Tom.
Is that the guy dating Ally McBeal? Oh.
Yeah.
But to his credit, he played along. He said, I'll check that out. He didn't make you feel old and say, what is Witness? Who's Harrison Ford? He was smart enough to just kind of play along and say, all right, I'll take a look at Witness.
Yeah. I mean, these are trick questions for him. And I thought that he handled himself quite well. And I can see the Russell Wilson comparison with size, sort of extending a play. He's very athletic and, from what I'm told, pretty confident kid there. But this whole, well, you didn't beat him with Trevor Lawrence. You know, Notre Dame's number two in the country, and they've been hearing this. But if they, even if they lose, if it's a close game, then they probably still stay in the Final Four. Yeah, Paulie.
I think that the Heisman vote this year doesn't start until after those games. So if he had a nice one with a win against Trevor, he could get the invite.
Yeah, I don't know if he will. And there's other players. If you wanted to do top three players to send, well, you're not going to send anybody to New York for the Heisman, but you know, he wins. Maybe the numbers aren't as gaudy as other quarterbacks there, but he's won 30 of his 33 starts at Notre Dame. And the numbers are pretty impressive as well. Oh, maybe he gets a chance to go there. But, you know, as far as these quarterbacks go, you know, Kyle Trask is going to win the Heisman. I think it's his to lose going into that Alabama game. But look, Alabama is making Mac Jones available tomorrow. So they know the Heisman hype. This is when it starts. Yeah, McLevin.
Yeah, but what if Alabama blows him out? Then he can't give it to Trask.
Well, it's his to lose.
Right.
And then it might be, it feels like it's either Kyle Trask loses it and Mac Jones ends up winning it. I'll tell you, the best player on the field when Alabama takes the field, and not their quarterback, their wide receiver. That guy is, Devontae is unbelievable. He might be the best player when they take the field. Yeah, McLevin.
They have Devontae Smith. Jalen Waddle was better than Devontae Smith, got hurt.
Yeah.
They had Judy last year and Henry Ruggs last year.
Yeah.
I mean, has there ever been a run of wide receiver? Well, actually, I guess LSU with Odell Beckham and Landry, but or Clemson with New Hopkins and Watkins. But this is crazy.
But this is where you're trying to assess a quarterback. Because Tua, look at the wide receivers Tua had. Those are elite. Those are great receivers. And, you know, Waddle was going to, well, he's still going to be a first-round pick. Ruggs was a first-round pick. Judy, a first-round pick. Devontae Smith is going to be a first-round pick. All with Alabama. So you're trying to assess how good is my quarterback. Great offensive line, great head coach, Hall of Fame coach. And that's where it's difficult sometimes. When I take that quarterback out of that system and then put him with average players in the NFL. Now, sometimes you realize that maybe you made a mistake. All right, we'll take a break. Last call for phone calls, back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Final results of the poll question. This day in sports history, and last call for phone calls. Once again, the Jets have fired their defensive coordinator, Greg Williams. Al in Atlanta joins us. Al, what's on your mind? Best and worst of the weekend.
Hey, Dan.
Hey,
Al. Best of the weekend was Jim Nance's age fromage breakdown of Aaron Rodgers. It was hilarious, brought a little bit of happiness to an otherwise joyless sports weekend. And worse is, due to horrible offensive play calling, I am forced to accept the fact that even if the Falcons were in the NFC East, they wouldn't be in first place. But I'm still holding on to that 2% milk chance.
All right. Well, thank you. Al calls in every Monday, and he's an Atlanta sports fan. What's he expect? Austin in Arizona. Hey, Austin.
Hey, good morning, DP. How's it going?
Good, sir. What do you have?
Good, good. Hey, 5'9 and a hard 175. So I have a best of the weekend. It was a pretty good weekend here, but my Marquette Golden Eagles and DJ Carton taking down Wisconsin number 4 on Friday night with that buzzer beater. I don't know if you got a chance to see that.
Crazy tip in there with Marquette and Wisconsin.
Oh, phenomenal. And then my best of the best was Sunday with the Rams taking care of business against the Cardinals, and then USC blowing out Washington State on Sunday night. So I don't know if it's too late to try to maybe get Slovis into the Heisman talk, if there's some room there. But I'll settle for a Final Four if they went out against UCLA and then handle business in the Pac-12 championship on here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I watched Washington and Stanford. That was a good game, but no, and I don't see Slovis in the Heisman campaign. Ryan in Honolulu. Hey, Ryan.
Aloha, Dan, and aloha to my Aereo. I hope his procedure went well. Best of the weekend was the backroom guys had me as this week's guest on 1215 Club. I encourage all DP Show fans to check out all the podcasts on danpatrick.com. And the worst of the weekend, apart from my wife's charges, is the harsh months of winter is upon us. We all need to be prepared. You might need a snow shovel, or some people might need some firewood. For me, my fan broke on Sunday. I was a bit hot, so got to get a new one.
Thank you, Ryan. Yeah. We got some bad weather in the Northeast here. Ryan's fan broke. Oh, the struggles living in Honolulu. Jesse in L.A. Hey, Jess.
Hey, Pete.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, great show this morning. Best investor, the best. Packers dominating the Eagles, continuing the Carson Wentz drama, which is so annoying but also so tasty. Because of the irony of it, the Packers draft a quarterback in the first round, and I'm still upset by it. But Aaron Rodgers have an MVP-like season, and the Eagles do the same in the second round, and now the hurt feelings are in Philadelphia. But my bester, college basketball, vintage hair is back. There's a forward who plays for LMU named Kelly Liapepe, who's not a bad player at all, but he has a grotesquely awesome full-on 80s mullet. And then Oklahoma has a sharp shooting forward named Brady Manick, who rocks the stash and feathered curls a la young Larry Legend. These guys are first team all badass when it comes to looks on the floor.
All right, thank you, Jesse. Thank you. Yes, Paul.
Yeah, the Loyola Marymount forward, he looks kind of like Kenny Powers from Eastbound and Down, La Flama Blanca, with the big power mullet.
I watched a little bit of basketball this weekend. Kentucky lost again. Kentucky lost to Georgia Tech. Kentucky's now 1-3. And I like how, you know, you have the analysts saying, yeah, but it's a young team. When's the last time John Calipari didn't have a young team? Isn't every year a young? Well, he's starting four freshmen. And he always comes on and tells me how great these kids are and how much money his players have made in the NBA. And okay. Yeah, they're now 1-3. This day in sports history, Paulie.
Dan, this day in sports history, 1963, CBS did instant replay in the game for the first time on television during the Army-Navy game. And you love this band. Huey Lewis and the News sang the U.S. National Anthem a cappella before a Niners-Jets game in 1986 at Candlestick.
Wait, that's part of this day in sports history? Huey Lewis and the News?
If Huey Lewis is in sports history, you know I'm going to give it.
I know he's a big Niner fan, and I've seen it at Pebble Beach when he plays in the Pro-Am. Didn't Huey Lewis lose his hearing? I don't know if they're still performing.
The News still rocks.
I don't think Huey is. But I don't know. I thought that he was having hearing issues. But I don't know if Huey Lewis and the News are still performing. Let me see. Go around the room. What we learned on the program. My new best friend, Todd, here in the Man Cave. Todd, what did you learn today?
Russ Tucker says while playing in Washington, he went from the best coach, Marty Schottenheimer, to the worst, Steve Spurrier.
He said if it rained, Steve Spurrier would call off practice. McLovin, what did you learn today?
Ian Book says his NFL comp is Russell Wilson and Baker Mayfield.
That's not bad. He'll take that. Seton O'Connor, what did you learn today?
I learned Jets fans can relax. It was all Greg Williams' fault. We'll be all better now.
Paulie, what did you learn today?
Ian Book has no nickname. He's too busy winning.
He's got to watch Witness. Then he'll understand. Book! Darn it. Washington against Pittsburgh and Buffalo against the Niners coming up tonight. Todd, what did I learn today?
McLovin has seen high school games played better than Ohio State and Michigan State. Some sloppy football going on there.
What we learned brought to you by 1-800-Flowers. Check out the Holiday Flower Tree to get the gorgeous Holiday Flower Tree for 15% off. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com. You're going to see that radio icon. Enter code Patrick. You're good to go. Alabama quarterback Mac Jones will join us on the program tomorrow. Thanks for the phone calls, emails, tweets. We'll talk to you on Tuesday, Dan Patrick Show. Oh, but wait, there's one more item. Businesses have to be flexible this year, from working remotely to pivoting their business models for long-term survival growth. And that also means in hiring somebody. If you're in charge of hiring for your business, these pivots have made your job even more challenging. But here is a helpful hint. ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. Hiring will be faster, easier. And what happens when you post a job on ZipRecruiter? It gets sent out to over 100 top job boards with one click. And then ZipRecruiter's got this powerful technology finding the people with the right skills and experience for your job. It's no wonder that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the very first day. You can see for yourself right now. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. Let ZipRecruiter take hiring off your plate so you can focus on, well, important things like growing your business. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire.